A number of years ago, we went through a series that we call We Build People here at the church. It was a partnership that the Assemblies of God had with Rick Warren and his purpose-driven ministry philosophy. Just before I moved here to pastor this church over 26 years ago, I had been a part of 50 of us that were across the nation helping to introduce this discipleship ministry into the Assemblies of God. It was such a perfect timing of getting to teach it, network with others, that we talked about it. Rick told us that we were the first church, even including his own denomination, the Southern Baptist, to really buy into this because it was so biblical and scriptural. First thing we did as a leadership team is we spent almost a year just studying it and together, working on it together, planning and preparing a vision for our church. Out of that was born what you know today as our mission to celebrate God. Say it with me, celebrate God's love by persuading people to become. You always remember that last part. How many passionate followers of Christ are in this church today? We went through that. We looked at over 1,000 verses, and then we walked through this together, and we came to the conclusion that God wants you to know Him. God wants you to have an intimate relationship with Him. God wants you to love Him. We call that worship. God wants you to love other people, to build relationships with them. We call that fellowship. God also wants you to grow spiritually and to become more like Jesus each and every day of your life. We call that maturity. But God also wants you to be prepared for eternity by learning to be like Jesus and serving others. We call that ministry. For Jesus didn't come to be served, He said, but to serve. And the mark of a true leader and the mark of a true Christian is not that they're expecting others to wait upon them, but that they themselves are ministering or serving like Jesus did. And then God wants us to prepare for eternity by sharing our faith story with other people so that they know the good news of what Jesus did in your life. And we call that evangelism. However, as most of us know, there are painful times in life. Walked with this congregation for 26 years, and I've walked with a lot of people through various levels of pain. Some that have been diagnosed with cancer that I've walked through that haven't experienced the miracle that I just experienced, but they never lost faith and they never wavered. And as I stood at their graveside and preached their funerals and comforted and loved their families, we were reminded of the faithfulness of God, and that even though we buried a body that no longer worked, that spirit was alive and well with Christ Jesus. There are painful times in life, but if we've learned anything together, we have learned that God uses pain in our lives to accomplish these five purposes of worship, of growth and maturity, of ministry and serving and preparing for eternity. God uses those painful times in our lives. So my question to all of us this morning, and this is how I prayed from the pulpit to the pew, is have you grown through your pain? Have you grown in your pain? It may have been the pain of divorce. It may have been the pain of another family in our church that lost a child. And as we walk through that together, almost divorcing because not many couples survived that, but their faith in Jesus pulled them together and they learned how to walk through that painful time together. And Becky and I and you have been firsthand witnesses of how pain has drawn people closer to God, closer to one another, and through their painful stories, been able to share the good news of Jesus. And so I want to talk to you about resilience today. Would you stand with me and let's go to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 8 this morning. We often suffer, but we are never crushed. Even when we don't know what to do. Would you read that with me? Even when we don't know what to do. One more time. Even when we don't know what to do. Can you feel what Paul was going when he says, even? And it's hard for me to imagine the Apostle Paul not knowing what to do. How many of you have ever been in that place where you just didn't know what to do? All of us. All of us. Even when we didn't know what to do, read this with me, we never give up. We never give up. Look at your neighbor, and I know this ain't good English, but I'm going to say it anyway. Say, I ain't a giving up. Would you look at your neighbor and tell him that? I ain't a giving up. I got a feeling we're going to say that again in heaven one day. Ain't you glad you didn't give up? Hallelujah. Think about that. In times of trouble, God is with us. In times of trouble, God is with us. And when we get knocked down, glory to God, we get back up again. Hallelujah! We get back up again. And why do we get back up again? Because God is with us. And through our God, we can do valiantly, for it is He that treads down our enemies. We will sing and shout the victory, for Christ is King this morning. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, my Father, I have prayed for one thing this morning, that your people would sense your presence, Lord. And that those that are in pain or those who are going through pain, Lord, would become resilient today and get back up. For it's in the name of Jesus Christ I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Resilience. Years ago, I preached a message and I called it resilience. So if you're ever looking, be sure you check the dates if you want to look at this one again. Resilience, I told you then, and I'll tell you again, is looking at life in light of eternity. Resilience comes not from willpower, because your willpower can be exhausted. Resilience comes not from trying to psych yourself up with pithy sayings, but resilience comes from looking at your life in light of eternity. I will be very honest with you. And it pains me. It really pains me to say what I'm going to say. There have been times in this journey I have prayed at night, Lord, please take me home. There have been times in this journey when I've laid a heavy burden on my wife and I said, honey, I don't know if I can continue to take this. And she would look at me and caress my face and pray over me in the spirit, because there have been times that I just didn't want to face what was ahead. But the secret of every winner, the secret whether it's in sports, the secret whether it's in business, the secret whether it's in ministry, whether it's in your health or marriage, the secret of every single winner is resilience. It's that ability to bounce back, to get up. You will get knocked down from time to time. You will be crushed as the Apostle Paul was from time to time. But losers stay down. Winners always get back up. And sometimes we need one another to help us back upon our feet. And some people hurt and they want to give up like I did. But some people hurt and they'll say, I'll never let anyone hurt me again. So they pull into a shell. I'll never let an employer or a boss hurt me again. So they pull into a shell. I'll never let a woman or a man hurt me again. So they never marry again. William Barclay said this, endurance is not just the ability to bear a hard thing, but it's the ability to turn it into glory. And if there's anything I want this morning, is that the pain and the suffering that you have walked through and that I am walking through, that it will result into the glory of God, that God is able to sustain us. And as I have said for over 50 years, if you can stand the pulling, God will pull you through. Somebody say, come on, victory this morning. Hallelujah. I cannot begin to tell you the calls that some of you have called to pray. Some of you have called to tell me a funny story. I showed the board yesterday just a bundle of cards. There are three times as many. Those of you sending me cards, and some of them, you have made my pain worse because I laughed with 48 staples in my stomach. The staples are gone, so keep them coming. It's a lot easier to laugh now. But thank you. Thank you. You will never know. I have preached to you through the years. Pick up the phone and call. Write a card. You have done that for me, and I'm so very thankful. But I can't spend my time just thanking you. I have to tell you how to become resilient. First of all, don't be bitter about suffering. For suffering authenticates, suffering confirms, suffering points me to Jesus, and it points me to the truth of the gospel or the good news that Jesus preached. It points us, it authenticates, because nobody really wants to hear about my successes. Long ago, Becky and I threw away cases of awards and plaques and things that I have been given, because they just no longer held any meaning for me. Not that I wasn't grateful for them, but they just didn't mean what they once meant. Nobody wants to know about that. But when people hear how God has pulled you through your pain, how God has pulled you through your suffering, because everybody hurts, everybody suffers, and when you can tell them how God pulled you through and how the church was with you, then it points them to the gospel of Jesus. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 10, through suffering, our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus, so that, that's very important, the life of Jesus may also be seen in our bodies. Yes, we live under constant danger of death because we serve Jesus, so that the life of Jesus will be evident in our dying bodies. So we live in the face of death, but this has resulted in what? Eternal life for you. There are people that are going to come to know Jesus Christ because you didn't suffer and complain. You didn't suffer and give up. You were resilient. You got up and you said, God is going to pull me through this time. Over the last few weeks, I have had doctors to come in and ask me to pray with them. I've had Muslims to come in and ask me to pray with them. I've had a Sikh to come in and ask me to pray with them because they've seen the love of Jesus and the glory of Jesus manifested in a hospital room. I want to tell you, God will never waste a day of your pain and your suffering. Don't resent it. Look up to Jesus. He will pull you through this morning. Hallelujah. So you may say to me, Pastor Hal, well, I'm certainly happy you asked that question. I knew you would. So let's go to the first point. I can use my pain to draw me closer to God. I can use my pain. Something about pain turns us to prayer like never before. For those of you that have been filled with the Spirit and God has given you the gift of a prayer language, you'll find yourself praying as Paul prayed, with your understanding and praying with your spirit. Your spirit, you will know what you're praying, but you won't understand. Paul says, when I pray with my understanding, I know what I'm praying about, but when I'm praying in the spirit, I have no clue, but God knows. You'll find yourself being comforted by the Holy Spirit. You'll find yourself when I've said those words to Becky, and I've prayed those words when I've had to get up at night in such pain, and the Holy Spirit comes alongside. We're going to get through this. You're going to have a message. You're going to have a story. Even when you have to be readmitted to the hospital, and I almost died just a few days ago, but 4 days in the hospital, we found the key. The doctors found the key, and everything has changed and turned around since that time. And back from the brink of death to standing in this pulpit 1 week later, I say to God be the glory. You can draw closer to God. For 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 8 says, we were really crushed and overwhelmed. You saw how powerless we were to help ourselves, but that was good. Say that with me. That was good. Circle it in your outline. That was good. For then we put everything into the hands of God, who alone could save us, for he can even raise us from the dead. Why is it good? Because it drew us closer to God. You say, Pastor, how do I draw close to God in my pain? These aren't in your bulletin, but you can get them later online. Cry out to God in your sorrow, in your pain. Argue with God in your struggles. He can understand it. Many of the Psalms are David arguing with God. And then trust God and surrender to him, because it will be good. He will pull you through. Paul said, now I'm glad that you were upset, but that you were not, that you were jarred into turning things around. You let the distress bring you to God. Read that with me. You let the distress bring you to God, not drive you from him. So when you come to God and don't run from him, the result, read it with me, was all gain, no loss. No pain, no gain. There is all gain when you suffer and you let it draw you closer to God. Can you say amen? So pain draws us closer to God, but pain can also draw me closer to others. One day, Dr. Gilreath walked into my hospital room this past week, and just seeing his face immediately brought cheer into my heart. He was all smiles. He's probably listening online. There were their grandchildren who had surgery this week. But he laid his hands and prayed on me. Pretty soon, the couple that I married yesterday after the board meeting, Anaya showed up. And I don't know how she knew we were talking about this yesterday, but the doctors had told me several things that we needed to start right away. And Anaya, who is a nurse in Cincinnati, you know her dad, Vic, who needs a lung transplant that sits right over here. Anaya came in with everything the doctor said that I was needed right within just a few minutes. And Anaya says, Pastor, I don't know how you needed this, but she came into the room with it. And then it wasn't long later, you won't believe it, but Paul and Nina Gorky came in. Nina was a comfort, and Paul just continued to pick on me like he always does. And I loved every single moment of it. So you see, pain draws us closer to one another. Suffering deepens our love. Suffering deepens our love for one another. The Bible says, share each other's burdens. Would you read it with me, please? Share each other's burdens, and in this way, obey the law of Christ. What is the law of Christ? But to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Pain draws me closer to God. And to love my neighbor as I love myself. Pain draws me closer to other people. You see, we all have feelings. It wasn't that I really wanted to die. It's just that's how I felt. And there's nothing wrong with feelings. We all have feelings. And sometimes you feel some way. And like Becky said to me one time, she says, you know that's not true. You know that's not what you want to do. And I said, I know. I don't need you to change my mind. It's just how I'm feeling. And so when we're feeling pain and we're feeling sorrow, you don't tell someone in their pain, well, stop feeling that way. A Christian shouldn't feel that way. Feelings are neither bad nor good. They're just feelings. Would you look at your neighbor and say that? Feelings are just feelings. And if it'll help you remember an old song, feelings, oh, feelings. And you know, you grew up and you discovered it was nothing. It was just feelings. And pain will draw you closer to one another. Amy Carmichael was a wonderful missionary to India. I've quoted her many times. This is a little lengthy, but I want you to listen to what Amy wrote. I have noticed that when one who has not suffered draws near to one in pain, there is rarely much power to help. I have wondered if it can be the same in the sphere of prayer. Does pain accepted and endured give some quality that would otherwise be lacking in prayer? What if every stroke of pain or hour of weariness or loneliness or any other trial of flesh or spirit could carry us a pulse beat nearer some other life for which the ministry of prayer is needed? Would it not be worthwhile to suffer? Look at that sentence again, that question. Would it not be worthwhile to suffer? 10,000 times, yes, and surely it must be so. For the further we are drawn into the fellowship of Calvary with our dear Lord, the more tender we are towards others, God never wastes his children's pain. So pain can draw me closer to God. Pain can draw me closer to others. But pain can make me become more like Jesus. Pain can help me to become more like Jesus. And isn't that what we want? Doesn't each and we're say it with me, we're passionate followers of Christ. And don't you want to become more like Jesus and grow in the fruit of the Spirit, to grow in love, to grow in joy, to grow in peace and patience and gentleness and goodness, to grow in faithfulness and meekness, to grow in self-control? How do you learn these things? You learn these things through times of trial, times of testing and pain and suffering. You learn to love in unloving situations. You learn joy in the midst of grief. You learn peace in the midst of chaos. You learn patience while you're waiting. Dick Krug often would say to me when he was going through various trials, "Pastor, don't pray for patience. I hate God's answer to patience." Why did he hate it? Because Dick's not a very patient man. Patience makes us wait. Let pain make you more like Jesus. Quickly, Proverbs 20 and verse 30. Sometimes it takes a painful experience to make us change our ways. Proverbs 20, 30. Hebrews 5, 9. This is a little confusing, so follow along with me. Suffering made Jesus perfect. And you go, well, I thought Jesus was already perfect. He was. This word, teleos, here means complete. He's fulfilling. Suffering made Jesus to fulfill or complete his mission. Suffering made Jesus perfect. And now he can save forever all who obey him. You see, Jesus went through everything you and I did. He didn't have cancer. He didn't have the kind of surgery I had. He wasn't married, but Jesus went through loneliness. Jesus went through misunderstanding. Jesus was criticized. Jesus was exhausted. Jesus was tempted in every way that you are. And so when I look at the life of Jesus and I declare, I want to be more like Jesus, more of Jesus, let me know. More of Jesus, let me show. More of Jesus, this I pray. More and more like Jesus every day. What makes you think that God will spare you and me from pain and suffering? In 2 Corinthians 7:11, Isn't it wonderful all the ways in which distress has goaded you closer to God? You're more alive. You're more concerned. You're more sensitive. You're more reverent. You're more human. You're more passionate. You're more responsible. Looked at from any angle, you've come out of your pain with purity of heart. Somebody say, come on, victory this morning. That's what God accomplishes through your pain and suffering. You will not be there forever. God will pull you through. So pain draws me closer to God. It draws me closer to others. It makes me Lord like Jesus. But pain also makes me more helpful to others. It makes me kinder. It makes me more helpful. You see, there are numbers of things that I've learned in ministry. Pastor Corey, you have learned these things. Pastor Mark has learned these things. The board members who've served with me through the years, as we've looked at these things, we've learned these things. I can't fix you. I can't change you. My words alone will not heal you. But what I can do in your pain and in your suffering, and what you can do with me and my pain and suffering, and you've done it powerfully and beautifully, and I thank you again, is I can be with you. I can sit with you by the streams of suffering. I can pray with you. I can listen to you. And I can bear your burdens to the cross. So never run from Calvary. Run to Calvary. For at the cross where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I found my sight. And now, I am happy all the way. Hallelujah. Can you say amen to that? The Bible says this. I need you to stop clapping. I'm almost out of time. So don't take up my preaching time. I got a lot to make up for. No more clapping. He comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others. When they are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. You have comforted me with the comfort God has given you. For the more we suffer for Christ, the more God will shower us with his comfort through Christ. And here's what I've learned. If you will give away the comfort you received, God will give you even more comfort. For if you give, it shall be given to you. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over without measure. Can you say amen to that? Now, where was I? Oh, here we are. Even when we are weighed down with troubles, it is for your comfort and salvation. For when we ourselves are comforted, we will certainly comfort you. Then we can patiently endure the same things we suffer. There's a theological term for that, and it's called redemptive suffering. Whatever you're going through, as Amy Carmichael wrote, God is not going to waste it. He's going to use your suffering to bring redemption to someone else. So pain draws me closer to God. It draws me closer to one another. It makes me more like Jesus. It helps me to become more helpful in ministry to others. And finally, if you want to know how to be resilient, pain can also be a witness to non-Christians. I don't know why evangelism is so scary. We have taught this for 26 years, how to share your faith story. Now, I admit that some of the evangelism tactics that I've read about, those are scary. And I don't agree with those, and I've shared with you why I don't agree with those. But evangelism is simply you sharing the good news of what Jesus has done in your life. Oftentimes, those of you that have walked with me, you know this, I'll just sense somebody needs prayer, and I'll say, may I pray for you? I only very, very rarely, I can only think right now of one person in the last decade that has said no. But people will stop. Sometimes it's been a Muslim. Sometimes it's been a Sikh. May I pray for you? And then I tell them, I say, I'm going to pray in the name of Jesus, if that's okay. And I'll briefly tell them, I'll say, you know, Jesus has brought so much love and forgiveness of sins. I found a new life in him. May I pray for you? and people's eyes were moistened and cry. Sometimes they'll sit down beside you. Evangelism is not scary. Evangelism is not telling people you're going to hell. Evangelism is not telling people you're damned. Those things may be true. They already know that. What they need to know is there is a God who loves them. There is a God who cares. And so for that waitress who had a miscarriage, for that neighbor whose wife just filed for divorce papers, for your other neighbor who just was diagnosed with cancer, as one of my neighbors were, and he was one that 26 years ago, when I was new in this community, told me not to ever pray for him. And I went over and said to him, "I'm so sorry, I've heard about your diagnosis. Can I pray for you?" And we sat down on his sofa and we prayed through until he gave his heart to Jesus Christ. Because I told him about growing up disabled. I told him about how, and I drew out for him, I don't even have the nerves to be able to walk or to run. And how that God had worked a miracle in my life. And I want you to know, pain can be an opportunity for you to share the good news of Jesus. Because the world wants to know, how did you handle your adversity? How did you handle your suffering? How did you handle your pain? Your pain will open more doors for the gospel of Jesus Christ than anything else. It's why Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 12, "I want you to know, my dear brothers and sisters, that everything that has happened to me has helped to spread the good news. And I want you to know I have not wasted this time, but in two hospitals and with doctors and nurses and neighbors that have come by, I have shared the good news of Jesus Christ and people have responded." I'm telling you, the gospel works. It works. The Holy Spirit works in ways unseen to us. Stop trusting your logic. Stop trusting your wisdom and trust the Word of God and trust the Holy Spirit who lives in you, and we will see miracles. We will see salvations. We will see revival once again. Oh, to God be the glory, church. Be the church. Don't be a suffering world lost without hope. We have hope in Jesus Christ. Hope that doesn't disappoint. In everything, in everything we do, we show that we are the true ministers of God, and we patiently endure troubles and hardships and calamities of every kind. So what do I want you to do with this week? I pray that you will join me this week. 2 Corinthians 4:17 says, "For our present troubles are small and won't last very long." Aren't you glad to hear that? Honey, this is not going to last very long. I go back in November for a reversal of the ileostomy I have on my left side. The urostomy is permanent, they're telling me. But there is a group of people that are so full of faith, they have amazed me. The doctor says, "Pastor, there's no way we can reverse this urostomy." Someone called me and says, "We're praying because nothing's impossible with God." And I have to admit that's true. I have to admit my faith is not quite there yet. I want it to be. But I am so moved. They're praying for a miracle. Nothing is impossible with God. Our present troubles are small and won't last very long. Yet they produce for us a glory. They produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. God will never waste it. And in eternity, we're going to rejoice. So I want you to acknowledge these four simple truths: that Christ is with you in your pain and suffering. Christ is with you. I have felt his presence so dear. Secondly, that in my weakness, Christ's strength is perfected in me. I don't fully understand everything God is doing in me. But as I shared with a family who came to see me in the hospital the other day, when one of us suffer, we all suffer. When one of us rejoice, we all rejoice. Isn't that what the scripture says? When one of us suffer, we all suffer. You have suffered with me. But we're also going to rejoice together. So God is doing something in our church through your pain and through mine. He's perfecting something in us. Remember, Jesus was made perfect. He was already perfect. He's making you perfect. He's making you more like Jesus. Pain will draw me closer to Jesus. He's not going to make you God, but he's going to make you and me more godly. Does that make sense? He's going to make us like Jesus. He's not going to make us God, but we're going to become more godly. And isn't that what we want? When I look at you, Dan, singing that psalm this morning, I thought, how big is that boy's lungs? You held on to that note, and I was like, I can't keep up. But I see Jesus in you, Dan, when you're playing that guitar and you're worshiping. I see Jesus in you, my dear. And I know we've walked through pain and suffering together, haven't we? But he's perfecting something. He's present. You tell Pam I love her. Then I want you to ask this of yourself this week. What were the most painful experiences of your life? Write them down. I have a feeling that you're going to write down 4 or 5 very painful experiences. I want you to commit them to the Lord. I want you to thank him for pulling you through. You may be going through it right now. But then finally, I want you to think of the people who are going through similar experiences in their life. Who do you know that's going through cancer? Who do you know who's lost a job? Who do you know that's hurting in some way that you've hurt? And that, my friend, that's your ministry this week. That's your ministry, is to call them like you've called me, to send them a card like you sent me a card, to pray with them like you prayed with me, to pray for them in your prayer closet, to go by and have a cup of coffee. Oh, thank God. For 3 weeks, I couldn't drink coffee. But it's back. Oh, it's back. And I'm telling you, it's the nectar of heaven. I am so glad for a good, strong black cup of coffee. You tell Tony I'm going to buy him a cup of Starbucks. He won't drink it, but oh, ain't God good? Would you stand with me this morning? Thank you for being so patient with me. I'm going to ask you to do something. I can't go to the back door this morning, but I'm going to be right over here. I would love to shake your hand. I'd love to see you, but I'm pretty tuckered out right now. So I don't feel obligated. You need to go, you go. But if you have time, I'd love to see you. But also, if you're going through pain or suffering, those of you online, if you will email me this week, I promise you, I will get back to you. Maybe not right away. I've still got so many emails to answer. But if you'll email me this week, I'll pray a prayer and send it to you by email. And many of you know that I will do that. I just want you to know you're not alone. And this pastor, I want you ready for heaven. This pastor, I want you perfected in the image of Christ. This pastor, more than anything else, wants to join with hands with you around the throne of King Jesus, and we'll sing forever, crown him with many crowns. So Heavenly Father, I thank you right now. And I pray for those that are going through pain. I extend my hands to them, not because my hands are healing, but praying that through me right now, you will minister grace. You will draw them closer to yourself. You will draw them, Lord, closer to others. You will make them more like Jesus. You will make them more effective in their ministry of serving others. And Lord, you will use them to help others prepare for eternity by sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. God, bring to our remembrance not only the pain we've suffered, but your answers to our prayers. And bring to our remembrance 4 or 5 people, Lord, that we can love in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, Father, I ask you, would you bless us? Would you keep us? Would you make your face to shine upon us? Smile upon us, O Lord, and be pleased. Bless us as we leave this congregation. Bless us as we go to our tables and we share meals with one another. Bless us as we go to the jobs you have given us. Make us prosperous and productive. And bring us back to this place, rested and sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. For it's in your name I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. God bless you. I love you with all my heart. Thank you.